Okay, yesterday we learned the dinim of making brachas. You have to hold it in your right hand. And if it fell out of your hand, what do you do? If there's more there in presence and so on and so forth. They did bring down an interesting shaila. What happens if a guy had a dream, and in the middle of the dream, he makes a shahakol. In his sleep, he says the bracha shahakol. Obviously, it had to happen. If not, the guy wouldn't have brought it down. And then he wakes up and he's thirsty for water. He wants to know, does he have to make another bracha? Or can he just drink water? Because he already made shahakol. And the answer is no, he can't. Because the bracha that he said when he's sleeping is worthless. It doesn't do anything. Next. Huh? That's the lashon. Okay. Now, what happens if somebody makes a bracha? We learned you have to eat right away. What happens if somebody makes a bracha and they spoke? They made hametzi and they spoke. Or they made ha'et and they spoke. So if it's something not pertaining to the eating, then you have to remake the bracha because you made a break. If what you're saying pertains to the eating, to give you a simple example, you made hametzi, and then you realize you needed salt. So you say, bring salt. You already made the bracha, but you say, bring salt. Because it's for the eating, it's not considered, you're not supposed to do it, but it's not considered a hefsik, and therefore you don't have to make the bracha again. Therefore, he says like this. If somebody, years ago, they used to check the fruits for worms and for different things. So now, there's an Indian halacha making a bracha on the whole thing. So therefore, the din was, you make a bracha when, let's say, you have an apple, right? So you make a eitz on the apple while it's whole, because it's better to make a bracha when something is complete. But then you cut off a piece to check if there's worms or not. So then it's not such a big deal, because inevitably, there's not going to be the whole thing full of worms. You can have a piece, that's good. But what happens if you have a small date, let's say, or a fig, and years ago, used to be a lot of worms in them. So then the din is, you shouldn't make a bracha, and let's say you have one date, one fig. So you shouldn't make a bracha and then cut it open to check if there's worms. Because what happens if there's a worm? Then you can't eat it. So again, you made a bracha in vain, which is no good. So therefore, all these things have to be done properly. Next, there's an interesting shaila they bring down. If somebody drinks through a straw, do you make a bracha on it? Because the question is that called drinking or not? And the base of this question is, the Gemara says in Saita, when the woman has to drink the Saita waters, you know, the waters that were Hashem's name erased in it. So the Gemara asks, Hishka Basiv, what happens if the Kohen gave the woman a drink through a straw? And it's interesting, Rashi says over there in the Gemara in Saita, how Rashi defines, what is the word a sieve, which means a... So Rashi says, a hollow things, kederach shatinei kesheisim, like the kids drink from. So they had straws in those days also. But Rashi says kids used to drink from the straws. So over there, the Gemara asks, is that considered drinking or not? Is it not considered drinking?
Why not?
Because a lot of poskim write, even though everybody does it, and in practical halacha, you're allowed to do it. But some people discuss, because the Gemara questions if that's normal drinking. Right? That's the Gemara's question of Seita. So then, if you want to make a bracha on a drink, you should at least make a bracha on a normal way of drinking it, which is respectable for Hashem. You're going to drink that in something that kids drink from. The Gemara even asks the question, is that called proper drinking or not? So they're right, you shouldn't make a bracha, at least take a little sip. But again, the minhag today is everybody makes a bracha even when you drink from a straw. Oh, that's another interesting question they bring down. So in the times of the poskim earlier on, he brings down from... Who's it bring down? Okay, there's a number of interesting questions. We'll discuss all of this. For instance, if somebody... Okay, we'll do this first. If somebody is fed through a feeding tube, there's two questions here. Number one, do you make a bracha?
You do.
I'm asking, do you make a bracha? One second. And secondly, does it have to be kosher food? Because you're not eating it. It's going into your stomach. So there's a whole question in halacha. Is it the hanah of your throat that you're making the bracha on? Or the hanah of the stomach? You know, if you're making a bracha because your throat tastes it, friends, they ask a shaila, what happens if somebody stuffs, crazy cases, they stuff food down your throat, but it goes like all the way down without, they used to do that to camels, it says. The camels used to be fed like that.
Gestopte Gans,
yeah. But the question is that called, so then you don't have pleasure in the throat or not? So the Pearl, there's a whole discussion of this. The Ivetz writes, it could be, he says, if you're full from it, you would make a bracha because your stomach is getting, do it. Most poskim hold, by the way, at least in contemporary poskim, that the food, halachically, I'm not talking kabbalistically, halachically the food doesn't have to be kosher. Because you're not allowed to eat, what did the Torah say? You're not allowed to eat not kosher food. Eating is when it goes through the mouth and down the throat, when you taste it. If it goes through the stomach, you're not halachically, you're not eating it. And therefore, you wouldn't make a bracha on it either, according to most opinion. Because again, you're not eating it. You make a bracha when you eat food. And something you're not eating, then you don't. Or the same thing, in another practical case, if you're fed intravenously, which is similar to the stomach, right? You get nutrients. It goes into your veins, into your stomach, and, you know, you get full. The question is, would you make a bracha? Obviously not. Does the intravenous have to be kosher? Halachically not, because, again, you're not eating it. We learned, though, even about other things that you taste, but you don't swallow. Remember, we were discussing the other week about toothpaste, the mouthwash. Does it have to be kosher? Because you're not swallowing it, you're not eating it. So then it doesn't have to be kosher. Now, I'll give you another example. You know, people used to chew on leather. And they probably still do. Okay, now leather is from an animal. Obviously, the leather is not kosher because you buy a piece of leather in the street, it's not from a kosher animal. That was shechted. Now, the question is, could somebody chew on leather? The answer is, yeah. Are you putting it in your mouth and you're chewing, you know, you're supposed to be biting into it? It's not called eating. It doesn't matter. It's not called eating. It's something you're chewing on. People eat paper. Okay, paper is probably not a shy of cautious. But you have all these things. It's not the normal way of eating it.
Gum has to be kosher?
What?
Does gum have to be kosher?
Gum has to be kosher because the flavoring of the gum you swallow. That's why you make a bracha on gum. If somebody chews leather, you don't make a bracha. You're not enjoying it. Gum, the problem with the gum is the flavoring. If the flavoring is not kosher, then it's a problem.
Why does toothpaste be kosher Passover?
Toothpaste for Pesach is a different story because Pesach, you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. The problem with toothpaste Pesach is not eating it. It's benefiting. Well, it's a shracha shayla even for Pesach. It's not such a big shayla. But because it's nifsum echilus kelev, it's not. But I'm saying people that are machme in this. But Pesach, it's stricter because not only can't you eat it, you can't benefit from it. If you can't benefit from it, then you are benefiting from toothpaste and mouthwash. So, but the question as far as eating goes, it's not considered eating in any way whatsoever. The same thing, what happens if somebody tastes food and they spit it out? No, they don't swallow it. I'll be then you don't make a bracha on it. If you swallow it, you have to make a bracha. So it says in halacha, because it's a suffix, if you really have to make a bracha, the best thing is to swallow a little bit and to be able to make a bracha on it. The same thing if somebody eats or drinks something medical purposes. Take a medicine. Okay, so obviously on a pill that you swallow, there's no bracha. Whatever you take, liquid medicine. Yeah, cough syrup, face, whatever, especially kids' medicine. Liquid medicine or chewables. Do you make a bracha on it or not? So the Paskin, right? And Alter Rebbe brings this down also. So it's very simple din. If it has a good taste, you make a bracha on it. If it doesn't have, if it's a bitter taste, then you don't make a bracha. What happens if it's in between? So the Alter Rebbe doesn't say bebashis, then you would make a bracha because you're benefiting from it and it's not bitter. If you take a bitter medicine, bitter chewable or liquid medicine, then you wouldn't make a bracha, it says in Allah. But if it tastes good, then you make a bracha because you're enjoying it, you're benefiting from it. But then you have going into a lot of other issues about the kashrus of medicine. Does medicine have to be kosher or not? Most medicines, by the way, are not kosher. Most medicines have magnesium stearate, right? Speak to the pharmacist. Magnesium stearate, which is an animal derivative. So most medications are really not kosher. But really the ones you swallow, alpidin is not an issue. Because it says, Shchnorach speaks about in the Paskin, not in Shchnorach, but in the Paskin they say that you don't eat it. It's not called eating. If you're not eating, it doesn't have to be kosher. If you taste it, like liquid or chewables, that's a different story because you're tasting it. So then you have to make sure it's kosher. Okay, Machachin, given Shavla Gal Tedum Hanaka Shemirat, the Bobo Dr. Lam to Mishnah Madina Hobbit to Matsuka Yaku Tay of the Yagu.